The Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Oh, hello. I didn't see you come in. My name's Eric Metaxas. I'm the host of The Eric Metaxas Show, or so they tell me. And I get to talk to interesting guests. Today I have a particularly interesting guest. Have you heard of the comedian Andy Milonakis? Are you excited? Ladies and gentlemen, wait a minute. You're so familiar to me. You're not, but you're not Andy Milonakis.
You've got one of those fake Greek names that's only three syllables.
You know? Really, Metaxas.
Yeah, but it's you know, if you had a real Greek name,
yeah,
Yiannopoulos, you know, you would understand that these jokes are very tired.
Really?
Yes.
You know, it's funny because I don't think you're right, but you're Milo Yiannopoulos, and Milo. I've followed your career less than many, to be honest. I mean, I'm very, very fond of you. But people who followed you like intensely think of you as just a provocateur, a joker. They don't know when to take you seriously. Mm. That can be one of the downsides of being so comedically instinctive.
Yes.
Because recently you made a really serious announcement. We touched on it last week. Tell us, you know, yeah, as with as little varnish as possible, what's going on in your life?
I've had a lot of time alone with my thoughts, having been basically unemployed for half a decade, being canceled so many times. And I wrote a book in 2018 about Pope Francis, and it got me thinking more, and it
What was the gist of that book for people who don't remember
that? It's called Diabolical, and it's about the manner in which Pope Francis has been taking the Catholic Church, you know, in a ghastly direction. He's turning a blind eye and even actively covering up for sodomitical and pedophilic priests and various other things. And the subtitle of the book is, you know, how Pope Francis has betrayed clerical abuse victims like me and why he has to go. And ultimately, was sort of an unhappy and incomplete final chapter, as it must be for Catholics, because we can't wish the guy dead, and we wouldn't, but we do want him out of office. By the same token, we can't hope that he quits, because two popes in a row leaving office would make it a kind of political appointment, and then you would begin to get lobby groups and maybe even political parties in the College of Cardinals. This would be, you know, this
as
is just,
if they don't already exist. Are we
well?
Kidding?
It would be a much more explicit and much more catastrophic politicization of the process of appointing a pope. There is supposed to be an advantage in the Supreme Court, you know, in the papacy, of appointing somebody for life. They don't have to run for re-election. They don't have to worry about, you know, cramming stuff into a short
space of time. Sure, but if somebody is really awful, it would be nice for them to leave. But this is a separate issue.
You get good ones, you get bad ones. But the institution is structured the way it is because, on balance, it's better to have somebody in office for life because it tends to bring out the right things in people, you know? Anyway, so I wrote this book, and in the course of writing it, I was reading a lot of more conservative Catholic authors. And
anyone you can say?
Well, I was reading more like Rod Dreher and, you know, Anthony.
He's not Catholic. He's Orthodox.
Well, yes, but I mean, like, so he's conservative, and then Anthony Eastlin and, you know, people like that. I was reading
John Smirak?
Not for this book, but I've started to read around, and, you know, me being me, I have quite middle-brow tastes, so I, you know, started becoming a daily reader of, you know, Church Militant and websites like that, you know, who are the robust kind of like Catholic Breitbart, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I mean that as a compliment. I then began to consider whether I should not be taking a more active role in my own faith, you know, whether I should not be participating more rather than just talking about it and writing about it and publishing books on it.
When you were last here, we talked about this, and it was interesting to me because I felt that if you are writing about something and you're bright enough to recognize eventually that it seems this is true. This is not just interesting. This is not just useful.
Yes. It becomes a certain point where you have to admit the actual metaphysical, literal truth of the stuff that you're reading and talking and thinking about.
But there are people who don't. And they manage to sidestep it. Yeah.
Yes, well, frauds. There are consequences to getting too deep into your faith, you know. So that's a component of it. But I have to be honest and say that the real, and I'll try to keep it as family friendly as I can, but the real driver for me was just the experience of committing certain acts in my private life that were not bringing me the kind of satisfaction that they used to, were not making me feel like they used to, and a growing awareness that this was some kind of papering over, that this was some kind of prophylactic or analgesic. There was something like that going on. There was something about it that felt like it was treating symptoms of something.
Now, perhaps this goes without saying, but I say it for my audience more than for you, that that's the very definition biblically of sin, right? We do these things because rather than do the right thing, which is take the trouble to God for healing, we decide to mask it somehow.
Yeah.
And obviously, heterosexuals do that exactly as much as anyone else. So, well, but it's so interesting that you somehow, you got to this point.
It wasn't so much a road to Damascus as a kind of gradual unveiling, or it felt like, you know, sort of sheets of tracing paper were gradually kind of slipping off the table, you know, to reveal the grain or something. And I was quite enthusiastically papering over, whatever it was, even to the point of getting quote unquote married to somebody. And I was well aware that that was not a, you know, real marriage or religious whatever, but it was not in the eyes of God. But I did it, and I found somebody that I even blasphemously felt was bringing me closer to God, because he was enabling me to feel loved and to love, which had been a problem for me before. But unfortunately, that for him, I guess the journey that he started me on took me out of wanting to commit gay acts entirely. Which I guess is a definition of irony. I don't know.
That's
the poor guy.
Well, this is beautiful. Your honesty is beautiful. And there are a lot of people, again, who are challenged to believe that Milo Yiannopoulos could really be honest, that this is just another...
On any subject.
Well, look. There have been people, let's be clear, and you've been several of them, who will... keep reinventing themselves, and it's all part of an act, and it doesn't necessarily mean that it's deeply dishonest, but it's part of something, of a public persona.
I think there are two different kinds of chameleons, if you like. There's the kind of chameleon who radically reinvents everything about themselves. Now, your list of guests on this show is like a who's who of the people who have destroyed America, these kind of fraudulent Republican, con men.
On this show, like who?
Well, quite often. I mean, you've got, you have the Charlie Kirks, you've got the National Review type people.
Oh,
I mean,
these are a fan of Charlie.
These are the people who sold and destroyed America. And
we'll follow up
these
on that
are the,
in future
these
segments.
Are, well, yeah. I mean, yeah. For instance, Charlie Kirk, who is trying to cancel people for saying that America shouldn't have America have strong borders like Israel does? And this 2 weeks ago was cause for Charlie Kirk to try to get somebody canceled and destroy their career.
I'm lost.
Days ago, he's tweeting the same thing. This is not important. We don't need to get into this. But what I'm saying is, these are the National Review types, the Bulwark and the Dispatch types. These are the people who pivot, who radically reinvent their fundamental political belief systems in order to make money. So when you see all the Never Trumpers who pivoted and became Trump's, massive, biggest fans. We all know their names, the Shapiros and all the rest of it.
I don't.
Well, okay, but you have lots of them in the studio. These people who radically...
I've never had Ben Shapiro on this
radically,
program.
I'm talking about that class of people, who radically re-alter everything they believe to fit in with, whatever the prevailing orthodoxy is in order to make money and to grow their audiences. Then there are people who have the same essential message, the people who say the same thing, but who recast it in different styles to reach new and different audiences.
Yeah.
So I very much think I'm that kind of person, and the latter type. And the reason I say that is, go back to 2015, 16, when I was just becoming popular, I was giving talks on college campuses with titles like "The Catholic Church is Right About Everything." What I say hasn't changed.
Yeah.
I acknowledge that.
Well, hang on. We're going to go to break here. And I want to be clear. That wasn't really the issue. In other words, how you say things, I think that's why so many people love you, is because of the way you say things. But I think that before, people just want to know, are you on the level? And then you can joke. But it seems to me that you are. We'll keep talking about that. Folks, I'm talking to, I believe it's Milo Yiannopoulos. We'll be right back.
You got it.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people. In fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Hey, folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has three things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out.
Folks, we're back. I'm talking to Milo Yiannopoulos. Yes, that's a Greek surname. Milo, where did you get the Milo part?
I think it was kind of a cutesy semi-Greek. I mean, it means apple, kind of, but...
Milo. We don't want to call you Milo, but Milo. Milo.
Yeah, it's kind of a cute Britishization, I think, of some word my mom liked.
Can I call
something.
You Milos?
I don't think that's my name, but you can call
Milos.
Me. You've been calling me a variety of things
on and off air
over the last few years.
It's fun. It's fun.
Sometimes you text me them in the middle of the night.
I don't think that's me. I think that's the Ambien. All right, now listen. We're talking about some very, very serious things, and I want to stay mostly on topic because we can go everywhere instantly. But you're talking about a life change. The last time you were on the show, I remember somehow, because we were talking about your book, Diabolical, is that what it's called?
I think that was I think that's when I was on. Yeah.
Okay. And I was the one to say to you, you mentioned that you had, that this priest, when you were 13, 14, had... what? Groomed you into a physical relationship?
Yeah, there'd been some... Yeah. Although I don't think that's what did it.
But... And I was suggesting to you at the time, based on some things that I have read and people that I've known, that oftentimes it's not a term... I think maybe I came up with the term. I don't know if I read it. But that we're not supposed to be sexualized until our marriage, right? In other words, ideally, there is no sex outside of marriage so that when one's... spouse in a heterosexual relationship becomes the sum total of one's sexual experience in a way that sort of channels us in the right direction. But when sex is outside of marriage, it kind of, you know, things happen that ought not to happen.
Yes, it's probably true. Feels unrealistic to say it in 2021, but I think it's probably true.
Well, who cares?
I agree with you. Yeah. I think it's probably true. And... look, I everything that I have read and learned and experienced in my life has taught me that I'm obviously a Catholic and we're cousins, but theologically speaking, but everything that I have read has told me that all these things are true. That, you know, everything the religious right was screeching in the 80s and 90s, if only we'd listened.
You understand that they weren't screeching anything except what the Bible has been teaching for thousands of years. This is fundamental. And Catholics are the ones that are great with natural law. In other words, that it's built into us. You cannot escape who you are.
I think that's true. And I don't think it was the priest that did it for me. I'm much more persuaded by research by people like Joseph Nicolosi, who says it has more to do with absent fathers and overbearing mothers and, you know, other kinds of trauma. I mean, at 13, 14, I think if a priest tries to come on to you, you kind of turn around and clock him or you get out of there. You don't kind of willingly participate, as was my kind of recollection of my, you know, thing, unless you've already been primed by things that have happened earlier,
but,
it seems to me.
But, Milo, I'm glad you brought this up, because I've actually thought about this a lot, because I didn't have any of those issues that you've just described. And I think it's because of that, that if a priest had come on to me or something like that, I wouldn't have responded. But so it's not really fair to say it's those previous issues. It's the combination, because you can have those previous issues and then not have that experience, and you may go on with your life.
I'm not trying to let that priest or any priest off the hook.
Yeah. No, it doesn't sound like you are.
Indeed, I've been reading Peter Damian recently, who's a Catholic cardinal from yay back in the day, who wrote a book about how to spot and what to do with sodomitical and pedophilic priests and all the rest of it. I'm by no means making excuses for them. I wrote a whole book about why the Pope had to go, because he was. But my experience is perhaps it was a necessary, but not on its own a sufficient condition for ending up like I did.
Interesting.
So I think that it has just as much, if not more, to do with having no father in the home, having a very overbearing mother, having then later a stepfather who was physical with me and very psychologically abusive, kind of going through my room when I was out, making sure that I knew that my stuff had been gone through, you know, that I had no personal private sphere of just my own stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of like petty vandalism that sometimes step parents get kind of trapped into, you know, that to me feels like much more of a convincing etiology.
Yeah.
For the issues that I had later in life that led me to act out in this particular gateway, right? I think with or without Father Michael, it would have happened anyway, is my perception. Not to let him off the hook, glad he's dead, etc. Shouldn't say that, you know, but I'll give myself permission for that one. I just think that if you... We put all of this focus on the priests and you know, these people should be rooted out, identified, prosecuted, imprisoned, defrocked, of course. But that's not going to solve the problem, because you're still going to have people who are ending up gay or thinking that they are, or doing this stuff, because we don't have a healthy and proper appreciation and respect for the family, and because we aren't keeping dads at home, because we're not drilling into people, incentivizing in the tax system, reminding people in popular culture that the nuclear family is the best engine of healthy, happy, productive people.
Okay.
That's my point.
Okay.
And that, for me, is a much more powerful prophylactic against people ending up gay or bisexual or trans or whatever than anything else.
Well, but that's kind of like saying if there's no father at home, it's possible that criminals will break into the home. So you don't want to let the criminals off the hook. And on the other hand,
absolutely,
if there were a father at home...
But you left the door open with a sign over it saying, you know, come in and take what you want.
So it sounds like then, you know, if you are, a serious Christian and particularly Catholic, you buy into the idea, the biblical idea, that there's really no such thing as a gay person, that God doesn't create gay people.
No, the latest psychology, not that I take that discipline tremendously seriously, the latest psychology is very much about separating people from what they do, which is why gay men on government forms now are called men who have sex with men. It's about psychology, whatever. But because they're trying to separate what you are from what you do.
This is very new, because
the
only thing that I hear is that people say, "Well, I am this way. This is who I am."
Well, the latest kind of psychology is suggesting that people are a bundle of competing drives, and they can be characterized by what they do, but it doesn't define who they are, etc. Well, this reminds you of something, doesn't it? It reminds you very much, if you cast your mind back to school or to a church sermon, about what loving the sinner but hating the sin, separating what and who people are from the things that they do. So, you know, there are no gay people. There are, as psychology has finally caught up to the church to confess, to admit, to acknowledge, men who have sex with men. And
but that's very, you know, controversial to say that. I mean, I think that's clear biblical teaching, but in this day and age, people don't say that.
Whatever their contorted reasoning, go look it up online and you will see, I think Britain now, British government forms, I think they now say men who have sex with men instead of gay men. I believe that there are some examples of it in this country too. It's starting to happen. People are beginning to acknowledge, not of course wishing to give the church any credit whatsoever, the essential psychological truth of what the church teaches about human nature, even if they don't, even if they cannot and will not admit where they're realizing it from. You know?
Yeah. Well, this is very fascinating. I mean, honestly, I've not heard this. And it, although it seems to go, listen, if you're not dealing with truth, eventually you'll become all tangled up. And we've seen this in the trans world, right? That is this a man? Is this a woman? It's a man who menstruates. Okay, whatever. It's a woman who, you know, it becomes
but that's
preposterous.
What I'm doing. So part of that, it's exactly part of what you just described, they're now describing gay men as men or sex men. Anyway.
But I wonder if that's because the trans narrative has eclipsed the gay narrative.
I think it slightly predates it, but the bottom line is, regardless, we're now describing people in terms of performance, of behavior, because menstruation is not a natural thing that happens to men, but it's something that a trans person might perform, something that they might do or claim.
Yeah.
So we're getting to the same place, you know, even if we're taking a different route there.
But, well, look, again, this is the biblical idea, is that God creates us male and female, and he doesn't create a gay person any more than he creates an adulterer or whatever it is.
Right,
he just
right.
creates us as we are, and then what we do is on us.
I have always known that. I was saying years ago that I knew that Born This Way was an invention of the gay lobby in the 80s and 90s, and we all know why, because the church was saying homosexuality is a sinful lifestyle choice. Therefore, what about if we make it like blacks or gays, then you're the bigot, and you know there's nothing we can do, we're perfect, we're, you know, we're born this way. Everybody knows it's just PR with no basis in science. Everybody, you know, every scientist will tell you it's obviously a mixture of nature and nurture, and there are some people who are maybe born with some kind of predisposition toward it, but nobody is born a homosexual. Nobody believes that. Absolutely no scientist believes that.
This is very important stuff, and as I said, very controversial, so we'll come back to it with Milo Yiannopoulos. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Don't go away.
The preacher talked with me and he smiled. Said, come and walk with me.
Hey folks, you certainly heard me talk about MyPillow and how their products have literally changed my life. Now, have you tried the pillow? They don't go flat. You can wash them, dry them as many times as you want, and they maintain their shape. They're made in the USA, and for a limited time, Mike Lindell is offering his premium MyPillows for the lowest price ever. You can get a standard queen premium MyPillow for $29.98. It's originally $69.98. That's a $40 savings. Kings are only $5 more. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener's square, and use promo code ERIC. There you'll find not only this amazing offer, but also deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Folks, you know I use these products, and they're fantastic. Call 800-978-3057 and use promo code ERIC. Or call 800-978-3057. Use the promo code ERIC.
What is the worth of a soul to Christ? Is it the same now as it was 2,000 years ago? In Pillars of Barabbas, author M.D. House shows how the times of the early Christian church differed little from our own, including the treacherous moral and political waters Christ's saints have always had to navigate with his abiding help. Everything they did and said is applicable to our day, and we are fundamentally no better than them. For instance, the Apostle Paul did not feel feared the Roman Emperor Nero. He served the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. True followers of Christ should always influence secular rule so that his church can be the beacon on a hill inviting all to come unto him. Order this powerful testimonial, Pillars of Barabbas by M.D. House, now on Amazon, and feel the inspiring legacy left to us by those faithful followers of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Folks, I'm talking to Milo Yiannopoulos. How do you pronounce your surname?
I can barely spell it, let alone
pronounce it. Come on. How do you say it? Because I've been criticized for pronouncing it too Greek, you know?
Well, how do you say it?
Well, I would want to say Yiannopoulos.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I don't...
But it gets tricky.
I'm not a Greek speaker, alas.
Because, look, my name is, in America, it's Metaxas. But right. In Greek, it's Metaxas. And
yes, I have a friend
Metaxas,
whose name is Socrates Papafloratos, which is the most amazing Greek name in the world.
Socrates Papafloratos.
Isn't that a wonderful name?
De drepese. All right, so that's beautiful. Well, my mother is German, so that's where I get the Eric from. But right. we were talking about some serious, super serious stuff. Many people would be very offended by our saying that we don't believe God creates anyone gay. So what do you say when somebody says, but I've always known that I was 3 years old and 4 years old? What do you say to those
please,
folks?
Please give me a break. I mean, first of all, I think that more gay people, we'll just use the shorthand for the sake of, you know, more gay men, feel like there's something wrong buried in there than they will ever care to admit. And culture is powerful. Culture is very powerful. And if you tell people not only that this is who you are and what you are, but it's an important part of your identity, and if you send them messages, as culture does in America today, that there might even be something morally good about it. I mean, we do seem to celebrate homosexuals as though there's something like intrinsically preferable about being gay, which is one of the most sick things that culture does in America. One of the absolute worst things that it does is suggest to people that these lifestyles are guaranteed to drive, to suck you into misery, into drug taking, prostitution, you know, into all these other dark aspects of gay life. And any gay person who tells you they have never been touched by pederasty, prostitution, drugs, promiscuity, they are lying to you. No gay person on the planet who has had any kind of sex life whatsoever has not been touched by these things, because one form of darkness attracts the others. We know that when you let one sin in, the others will follow. We know that when you turn a blind eye to gays in the clergy, you create an environment in which people look the other way at terrible sins, and naturally pedophiles decide, oh, this is somewhere I could survive and possibly even thrive. So I'll do that, right? We know that that's what happens. If you tell people that this is part of who and what they are, and that it's good, and that they'll be happy and wonderful and be celebrated by all of these idiot women, these white liberal women who ruin the world, you know, who are behind Drag Queen Story Hour and Gay Pride. If you tell people that, it has a powerful effect on the way in which gay men think about themselves. And most of them are probably convinced that this is how they were born and they have no other option. And I encourage people, if you're listening to this, and even if you are in the older, you know, bit of the audience, among the older generations in the country, you probably still have some atavistic, like, disgust or dismissal response when you hear about conversion therapy or reparative therapy, because you think that's ridiculous. Obviously, it doesn't work. Well, I just encourage you, if you're thinking about that, to cast your mind back to the last election and the one before it, and think about the gap between the way that the world was described by network television and the way that it really is out there. You know how big that gulf is. One of the very first times that the mainstream entertainment and news establishments decided to start describing the world as they wished it were rather than the way it is was in the 80s and 90s about gays. It was about AIDS, conversion therapy, and homosexuals. This is one of the. This is when it started. If you are familiar with the way in which journalists lie about Donald Trump, about Republican voters, about, you know, you name it, me, him, whoever, you will have some idea of how rabid they were about conversion therapy. And most of what you think about it has simply been inherited. You know, we kind of like, we sort of acquire a lot of things in this kind of soft, you know, osmotic kind of way, right? We kind of pick stuff up. Born this way is a lie. And men who have sex with men are doing so as a result of childhood trauma. It's not a lifestyle, and it's not a part of what they are. It is a set of symptoms, and it is. I have come to realize this very bitterly and painfully, and acutely. I've always felt like an outsider in my life. I have never been more bitterly aware of my own loneliness than I am right now, as I realize that all this stuff I thought was real just wasn't. And you can help people who are in this miserable place.
Well, part of the lie about conversion therapy is that whenever anyone talks about it, as usual, they will think of the most draconian versions of it. They will find
somebody. The electroshock
stuff. Yeah, they will always bring up that. They will always bring up some kid who had monstrous fundamentalist parents who forced him. But I know many people who on their own sought this. Yep. And there are governors in America today, Chris Christie among them, former governor, who have made it illegal even to pursue this. If you yourself as an adult choose to leave a certain lifestyle, and we're going to go to a break, forgive me, but I just want to say that Jeffrey Satinover has written about this, Nicolosi's written about this, and it's extraordinary, as you say, how the culture can just say, we can't have this, we won't have this, this is hate speech. We're going to be back talking to Milo Yiannopoulos. Don't go away.
Stand in line until you think you have the time to spend an evening with me. And if we go someplace to dance, I know that there's a chance.
Hey there. Folks, welcome back. Talking to Milo Yiannopoulos. This is really important stuff we're talking about, Milo. There are, I always think, the reason I'm forthright in speaking about what I think the Bible says about sexuality, what the church has taught about sexuality, is because I always think of some young man who is struggling with this and who is only hearing one point of view, which I believe is wrong. And I think if you really care about that young man and want to give him a choice, you have to tell him the truth. And people in this culture are afraid to say what we're saying.
You would not believe the number of 17, 20, 25-year-old men who have written to me in the last couple of weeks who have said, I have had and acted out on these urges, and I know that this is not what I want, and I know that this is not right, and I feel myself being dragged into this lifestyle. Everything around me is telling me that this is a virtuous way to live, that this is the easiest way to be happy, and I know that it isn't. Can you help me? This has become, for me, the great moral duty of the next decade, at least, of my life, because I know that I'm gifted in certain ways. I know that I am a man of great talents and correspondingly great flaws, but I'm good at certain things and I'm gifted at certain things. And one of those is I'm good at getting people to pay attention to something for a few minutes, you know? And I'm good at, you know, putting projects together and getting in touch with different people, and I can pretty much pick up the phone to anybody, and there's certain things that I can do. So one of the things that I'm going to do over the next 10 years is I'm moving to Florida as part of this. I demoted the gentleman I was living with to a housemate. I'm now going and moving to Florida, and I'm going to open a clinic. I'm going to open a...
Have you said this publicly? I've missed this.
I have. It was in the New York Post a couple of weeks ago, but people are too scared to talk about it to me. So I'm going to be opening...
You are opening up a clinic to help people who were struggling as you
with
were.
With same-sex attraction. We now are obliged to call it reparative therapy rather than conversion therapy because of lawsuits from liberals. But
well, reparative is an even better word. Why not?
Well, because conversion therapy is more annoying. I much prefer to call it conversion therapy. But there are certain things I can do, for instance. I mean, you know, it's not illegal to offer electroshock therapy, so we'll just call it the Pence pathway, and we'll, you know, I'm being silly. But
all right.
For real, though, there are dozens of people in my inbox who are saying, please put me in a program now. And there are hundreds more who just don't know where to go and what to do. So my aspiration is to start with one place in Florida where people can come for residential treatment. I'm not a clinician, obviously. I'm going through this journey myself. But one of the things I can do is help put money together with expertise, together with a bit of PR and, you know, whatever, and you know, mix it all together, and normally things turn out well. So I can start to set that up, and my goal with it would be to make something a little bit, I guess, like Planned Parenthood, in the sense that not selling baby parts, obviously, but in the sense that we'll do some clinical work, but we'll also publish some research, and we'll also do lots of public
wonderful.
Relations. And I can build an auditorium and give speeches again at last.
Now, you know what you can do, Milo? This is just an idea, but just to be really provocative, you could call it Born This Way Clinics. And this could be in italics.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Well, there's that. I won't commit today, but there's that meme that goes around. You know, well, I was born this way. Jesus replies, "Well, you need to be born again." You know. So,
well, actually, no. You've just brought something up, which I probably would have forgotten to bring up. I just want to say to anybody who is in any lifestyle that I would be lying if I didn't say that in the natural, it may be impossible to deal with it, to get out of it. I would say that you need God's help. And anybody in the 12 Steps program knows that apart from God actively helping us, we can be stuck.
Yes. My experience as a Catholic has been, and I think a lot of people have had this experience who are dealing with addictions and with compulsive behaviors. One of the most effective ways to replace something you're doing habitually, a compulsion, an addiction, is to replace the old rituals, because addicts always construct rituals around their behavior. You know, coke addicts will have like their mirror, their favorite little metal straw, and quite often those addictions will become clustered together. So he'll do that, and he'll have his pornography, and as a particular, you know, all his tabs and everything. I don't speak from direct personal experience, but you know, but people have these kinds of clusters of addictions. Replacing those rituals, those repetitive practices, with new healthy repetitive practices that help to
chopping wood.
Well, I was thinking more of the rosary, but for you perhaps.
I thought you just meant, you know, standard heterosexual guy stuff.
Certainly,
we're going to get at the chainsaws.
Certainly, exercise can help. Working out, you know, eating well, getting into
but
whatever.
Not in certain gyms. You've got to be careful.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think a real man has a gym at home, doesn't he?
He builds
his own.
Of course,
yeah.
I certainly do.
I built my own stable, so I, you know, I set off on a good path when I was beginning as a child. Although building it for a pony,
God.
But for me, it was the rosary, because it's the replacement with a repetitive ritual. That
although
is
I would say,
moving you in a good
let's
way.
Not be so. Secular. You say the rosary. The rosary is not. The rosary is nothing apart from God, and that's the idea. In other words, you're doing something where you're inviting the God of Scripture into your life.
As Christians, we know that. But there are people who go to Catholic rehabilitation and treatment programs who are not Catholic, who rid themselves of drug addiction by going through the motions.
But you know why that is.
And they quite frequently find
that God is real.
Of course.
Yeah.
And this is...
it's not the motions.
I understand. But Aristotle's great insight that habits become character is analogous here, right? You know, you go through the motions of faith and through those actions God has revealed to you. You realize
I see,
I'm not.
I see what you're saying.
You get what
the
I'm
point.
Saying, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can start somebody off doing this stuff, praying, showing up to mass. You know, repeating the repetition, and okay, I'll do it. But God has revealed to them in that process.
Yeah.
But the mere fact of doing it, of providing them with an alternate. I mean, look, you and I are Christians, we both know it's actually real. It's this real stuff. But I'm saying, if you can help guide people towards this stuff, the mere act of prayer and of participating in Christian life has a magnificent effect. It's way more effective than any other kind of treatment.
Well, this is wonderful. We're going to take a break. We'll continue the conversation later on. Milo, thank you for
sure.
your honesty and other nice things. Toledo. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Folks, this is our sixth anniversary.
Yes.
Alvin and Chris, can you believe it?
I can't believe it. I've been on for about 3.5 years and Chris had the helm for 2.5.
I remember, Chris, we were so young back then. We were just boys. Just boys playing.
Yeah. It was up in the Empire State Building. We were like a couple baby King Kongs.
And you were both growing mustaches, and they never quite came in.
I love the fact that, Chris, if people are looking at the video, I'm behind you. What is that?
So you are in front of the mirror today, and it's very Inception-y, you know? And so I thought I would just take a still frame of you behind the mirror, and that's my background. That's my virtual background.
Me out. You're basically saying happy birthday to the Eric Metaxas Show. This is your sixth visual way of doing that.
Visual.
We got some business to do here. First of all, today it's Milo Yiannopoulos, both hours. Folks, I promise you, you don't want to miss this. You don't want to miss it, both hours. You can see it visually on Rumble. We can't post it on YouTube because it's so controversial. So it's on Rumble. If you get my newsletter at ericmetaxas.com, we send these things right to your inbox and you do not have to think or look very hard. We should mention I'm in California speaking in San Marcos, Signal Hill, Thousand Oaks all this week. That's number one. Number two, if you missed the opening 10 of hour two today, you can find it on YouTube. But I share some stuff that I don't have time to go into right now. But I think I share a real miracle story from a couple of days ago. A real, real miracle story. I don't think you want to miss it. Also, Mike Lindell is launching Frank's Speech. And it has been really like a mess. People are like Chinese government hackers are messing with him. And I don't know. I'm supposed to be on the table, but go to frankspeech.com. Sign up, please. Frankspeech.com. Dude's a hero, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
And we have a new. Speaking of Mike Lindell, since he's being so persecuted, you can thank him by going to mypillow.com or mystore.com. and purchasing many things with the code ERIC. Please do that. We have another new sponsor on the program, Nutramedics. We'll have the founders of that on this program to kind of explain what it is. But the short form version of who Nutramedics is, Nutramedics.com, by the way, also use the code ERIC. But Nutramedics.com, they make supplements. So lots of stuff that I already take, vitamin D, except they link it with vitamin K. So you only have to take one pill. And I'll explain that another time. Vitamin D, zinc, magnesium, stevia, I don't know, everything. Like all the different supplements they have, melatonin. And it's super high quality. But what really sells me on it is I'm already taking this stuff. They, Nutramedics.com, give half of their profits, half, to missions and to wonderful charities that I would assume most of us would be excited about. So if you're going to give your money to a company to buy supplements, why wouldn't you go to Nutramedics.com, use the code ERIC, you get a discount. And I guess we should probably mention SalemNow.com. If you're looking for something to watch other than Lindell TV or this program, if you go to SalemNow.com, they've got all kinds of movies. Again, use the code ERIC. What are they featuring right now, Chris?
Well, it's Church People with a couple of your friends in it, right? The Baldwins, for example.
It's loaded with Baldwins. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike Lindell is in that too. We're getting really, really inbred at this point.
We need to bust out.
Yeah. Hey, Eric, I was thinking, I know you had to go on the Frank TV show and the Chinese were kind of messing with Mike. Did they, is there any truth to the rumor on the internet that they tried to make a counterfeit Eric Metaxas to steal your guest slot?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly true. That show is happening right now. And here's what I hate. Man, those Chinese bureaucrats, they are Marxists, but one thing they're good at is TV. And their show, doggone it, is 10% more entertaining than this show. And the guy doesn't even look like me. By the way, I want to show people how to wear a mask. This is very important before we go to the break. You see this pocket square?
Yes.
Actually, it's not a pocket square at all. It's a mask. And everybody needs to wear the mask. Hey, happy anniversary. Great to see you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.